This episode is brought to you by Visit Williamsburg. In Williamsburg, Virginia, there's never too much of a good thing. Whether you're a foodie, a golfer, a history buff, a shopaholic, an outdoor enthusiast, or a thrill seeker, you'll find what you came for here and more. So ask yourself, what is it you want? Discover Williamsburg and plan your trip at visitwilliamsburg.com.
Mom deserves the best, and there's no better place to shop for Mother's Day than Whole Foods Market. They're your destination for unbeatable savings, from premium gifts to show-stopping flowers and irresistible desserts. Start by saving 33% with Prime on all body care and candles. Then get a 15-stem bunch of tulips for just $9.99 each with Prime. Round out Mom's menu with festive rosé, irresistible berry chantilly cake, and more special treats. Come celebrate Mother's Day at Whole Foods Market.
From WBUR Boston and NPR, I'm Tom Asbrook, and this is On Point. The video of a woman walking around the streets of New York for 10 hours being catcalled over and over again has been viewed over 31 million times now on YouTube. It was created by Hollaback, a group formed to take on street harassment, and it's started a nationwide conversation about women and men on the street. What's okay? What's not? What's going on? There's a racial angle, too, to the production. We'll look at that. This hour, On Point, street harassment and the video that's got everybody talking. You can join us on air or online, where this conversation is always on. Have you seen the video, the apparent torrent of harassing come-ons? Does it sound familiar? Have you lived it? Join us anytime at onpointradio.org or on Twitter and Facebook at On Point Radio. 31 million views. A lot of people are tuning into this. Here's just a little tiny sample of what this young woman walking around New York in a t-shirt and jeans, not really remarkable in any particular sexual way, but yet, here it is, here it is, here it is. Damn, hey, baby, hi, beautiful. And, you know, none of them seem like that big a deal in and of themselves, but when you think about 108 times over 10 hours, when you boil it down to a 1 minute and 57 second video, it can seem like a torrent. We have with us right now from New York, Emily May. She's co-founder and executive director of Hollaback, the group that produced the film. Founded it in 2005 when she was 24. With us today, Emily, thanks for joining us.
Thanks so much for having me.
Holy smoke. Did you have any idea what you were on to here when you got this video put together?
No, not whatsoever. I would have been really pleased had like 10,000 people seen this, much less 30 million. We've been really overwhelmed by the response.
Let's listen to a little bit more. Could you describe this young woman? It's an actress, I guess, Shoshana Roberts. Describe her, where she is, how this is being made, and we'll listen to a little more. How was it made on the streets?
Sure. So this video wasn't actually made by us. It was made by a fan. His name is Rob Bliss. And, you know, he really wanted to show the extent to which harassment happens. And he thought that if people could see it, then it would make them want to stop doing it. And so he put this video together. He put a GoPro into his backpack. He walked down the street with Shoshana following him with two mics in her hands to document what was happening around her. And they went for 10 hours all over New York City, mostly in Midtown, downtown, Washington Square Park, et cetera.
Did they walk over all parts of the city? Because I don't see all parts represented in the 1 minute, 57 seconds. I mean, maybe you couldn't, but did they?
Yeah, no, I don't think in 10 hours you can make it through the whole of New York City. You know, I wasn't on the shoot, but as I understand, they focused mostly in Midtown. And that's because, you know, at Hollaback, we map stories of harassment. And we noticed that most of these stories are coming in from Midtown and lower Manhattan. And for those not familiar with, you know, geography here, that's where the biggest population density is. And if you're looking, you know, at street harassment, something we know happens across lines of race and class, you're really just looking for, you know, how many guys are going to pass you on the street. And you're going to pass a lot more guys on the street in the middle of Times Square than you will in a Walmart parking lot.
Here's a little bit more. Shoshana Roberts walking down the street, jeans and a t-shirt. And again and again and again and again, guys telling her she's beautiful. She should say thank you more when they get compliments and more.
How are you doing today?
Smile.
That's not good.
Smile.
What's up, beautiful? Have a good day.
Hey, what's up, girl? How you doing? Somebody's acknowledging you.
You should say thank you more. They're schooling her on the street when they catcall or harass, as Hollaback would have it. They want her to say thank you. Emily describes some of the scenes that get even a little weirder, where guys just stick with her for quite a while.
Yeah, I think where my stomach really turned the first time I saw this is in that scene where, you know, a man starts off with a seemingly benign comment, and then when she doesn't respond, proceeds to follow her for 5 straight minutes down the street. You know, and Shoshana knew that she had Rob in front of her, but at the same time, you know, I mean, she was terrified. That's a terrifying, terrifying experience. And I think it highlights, too, that, you know, when we get all these comments on the street, we're always worried that they're going to escalate into something that's much, much worse. Good morning is very rarely just intended as good morning, as we experience it here in New York City. And when, in my own experience, when I've responded good morning back, they've used it as an invitation to say, you know, terrible, gross, and lewd things about my body.
We should say, I mean, it wasn't exactly even just following her. He was sort of walking right next to it as if they were a couple. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
It's almost like he was sort of parading her as his girl.
Yeah, I don't know what his intent was with that, but I'm pretty sure his intent was to scare the living crap out of her.
Emily, what is up with the racial makeup of this thing? I mean, you came out with, Hollaback did, with a kind of an apology after this, or I don't know what you call it, but you said, we regret the unintended racial bias in the editing of the video that overrepresents men of color. That seems like a pretty big deal. It was edited to overrepresent men of color?
Well, so we had no control over the editing process or the creative process overall. That was done by Rob Bliss. And look, our intent is never to put out myths out there about street harassment. We understand that street harassment happens differently to different women. And we understand that, that it's not disproportionately men of color doing this, that this is like all forms of violence. It's across lines of race and class. And so, you know, we wanted to be clear that we understood those dynamics and regretted that this video was put out there with a call to donate to us, with these dynamics happening. In terms of the logistics of it, you know, as I understand it, and look, I didn't make this video and Hollaback didn't either, but as I understand it, there was footage lost. You know, it was because of the positioning of the mics and the weather and all this kind of stuff. And, you know, of that footage lost, some of those men were white, some of them weren't. Right. And that's where that quote comes out. I feel like I can speak confidently on behalf of Rob here, though, and say that white men were never intentionally edited out.
Still, it's a pretty big deal that they're gone. It's out with your name attached to it. Have you, you know, is that a major problem? Talk about myths. You know, that's one myth right there, potentially, that this is a racial thing. And are you now contributing to that myth?
Yeah, you know, I mean, that's certainly our greatest fear. But what I want to clarify is they're not actually gone. So 6 out of 18 of them are white men. Those faces are blurred. It's hard to identify racial identity. And certainly, you know, is that good enough? No, it's not good enough. You know, what we want to do here is we want to take this conversation that's been opened up about street harassment, and we want to use it to do what Hollaback has always done, which is to get stories out there of people and the way they experience this differently. So we're looking to do a follow-up series from here. You should see the next piece of it within the next couple weeks, and really looking at how, you know, women of color in particular experience this differently, because we know that they experience a disproportionate amount of this, that they're not just getting harassed on lines of, you know, sexism. They're also getting a whole range of racist comments thrown at them.
Emily, how do you define street harassment? What kind of comment, to your Hollaback definition, qualifies as harassment when someone speaks to someone else? In this case, a man speaks to a woman on the street. What makes it harassment?
You know, I think harassment is really defined by the person who is experiencing it. So this is Shoshana's story, and this is where her line is. But I think it's important as folks watch this to think about where their own line is. When people say good morning to you, is that harassment? When people say hey, sexy to you, is that harassment? You know, I think all of us really need to think about that. But I think really importantly here, we need to recognize that, you know, 1 out of every 4 women in the United States have survived some form of sexual violence in their lives. And for those people, even a seemingly benign, hey, beautiful, can feel like ripping a scab off because they don't know when this is going to escalate.
So I'm still listening for a definition there. And I'm not, you must have some sense of what, I mean, are you advocating that men don't speak to women on the street if they don't know them? And if not, where is your line?
So a clear-cut definition is sexual harassment that happens in public space, right? We all know what sexual harassment is. We all know what public space is. So that's the clear-cut definition. And look, I do think that lines vary from woman to woman. I think we need to, you know, trust the people who are experiencing this most, which, P.S., isn't just women, but also, you know, we know that lesbian, gay, bisexual, and transgender individuals are experiencing a ton of this stuff. We need to listen to them and hear where their lines are. And as a society, we need to learn how to respect each other in public space.
So it's the sexual element, which can be subtle. You can say good morning and it's not harassment, surely, presumably. But if it's somehow sexual, that's where you say harassment. Is that right?
So, you know, I think we all want to live in a world where we can walk down the street and hear, good morning, how are you? You look great today. And have those comments really mean just what it sounds like. Good morning. How are you? You look great today. But, you know, I can tell you that so often when those things are said, they escalate into something much, much worse. And I think that street harassment really ruins it for the nice guys and the nice ladies around the world that just want to have a conversation in public. We all want to have public space that's robust, that's conversational, where we can meet people, even meet people that we go out on dates with. But because the prevalence of street harassment, it really ruins that dynamic.
Is there a density that's the problem here? Is in 10 hours, would a couple of hey babies be okay, but 108 are not?
You know, I mean, I would ask Shoshana that question. I think for me, even a couple hey babies are not okay. I would imagine Shoshana would have the same answer. But certainly in 10 hours, 108, you know, of these comments are not acceptable. And, you know, what we were trying to show here is the extent to which it impacts you over time. That while one comment may seem benign, if you got one hey baby once a year, you'd be able to brush it off. But over the long term, it's causing anxiety, depression, and post-traumatic stress disorder.
I'm Tom Ashbrook. This is On Point. We're talking this hour about street harassment of women, maybe others too, in the video out of New York that's got everybody talking. Hollaback was involved with getting that video out. Emily May is its executive director. She joins us from New York this hour. Earlier this year, the online news site Vocative created a web documentary about street harassment. They talked with Jennifer Posner, with Women in Media and News. They played many clips of street harassment from various movies and TV shows. It's a cultural meme. Here's a whistling scene from the 1943 Red Hot Riding Hood, and then a bunch more.
I want a diamond ring, I want some bracelets and everything.
Catcalling is an all-American pastime.
Hey, it's my sweetheart. You're looking good, baby, good enough to eat.
I remember songs from the 50s and 60s that I've seen archived, you know, standing on the corner, watching all the girls go by.
The girl can't help it, the girl can't help it, she was born.
Street harassment is about ownership.
Shake it, honey.
Shake it, honey, but how often do you want to hear that? For Shoshana Roberts, who is in the video that's all over YouTube, 31 million plus views now, just too much. She talked with the Guardian newspaper about how she filmed the video and the stress of constant street harassment.
It just creates unnecessary stress of comment after comment. Some days I'm walking with broad shoulders and a smile, and my body language says I'm open for conversation. Just for conversation. Let me be clear. But other days, like when I was shooting the video, shoulders hunched in, walking, serious face, not making eye contact, all of my nonverbal cues were saying that I did not want to be approached. And when someone does approach, it can escalate so quickly. You're thinking, what's next? What should I do to protect myself?
The actress Shoshana Roberts, in her jeans and T-shirt, she's all in the video that's all over YouTube right now. There in a little clip talking with the Guardian newspaper. Emily May from Hollaback is with us from New York. Also from New York, Tatiana Falalizadeh is with us. She's artist and illustrator, creator of the public art project, posters all over the place called Stop Telling Women to Smile. She's interviewed hundreds of women around the U.S. and Mexico about street harassment. Tatiana, thank you very much for being with us today.
Hi, Tom. Thanks for having me.
And with us from San Diego is Anna Holmes, editor of Digital Voice at Fusion, columnist for the New York Times Book Review, founder of Jezebel, editor of The Book of Jezebel. Anna Holmes, welcome back to On Point. Great to have you as well.
It's great to be here. Thank you.
Anna, let me come first to you. On the racial front, does the makeup of the guys catcalling in this video discredit it as a piece of kind of public education about street harassment to you or not, Anna?
I think it discredits it in the sense that, it gives a very, very kind of warped sense of who is engaging in street harassment and who is the object of street harassment. I don't know that that should discredit it to the point where we don't talk about street harassment as a problem for so many women in this country. But the minute I saw it last week or the week before, I thought, oh my God, there only seem to be men of color represented here, and that really kind of echoes and reifies the idea that. That white women are somehow at the mercy of men of color, or that men of color are somehow more predatory than white men, and that's problematic because historically, the defense of the honor and virtue of white women in fear of miscegenation is what underlied a lot of white supremacy and its political and its more personally violent forms. So it was something that I noticed immediately, my heart kind of sank when I saw the racial makeup of the video. That doesn't mean, however, that I think that there isn't an important conversation to be had about street harassment. I would hope that we can have both of those conversations simultaneously. I just wish that the editor of the video hadn't put it together in the way that he did.
Tatiana Hannah Rosen in Slate pointed this out on the racial thing here. Many others have as well, but she also pointed to class when it comes to what we call street harassment or catcalling. The idea that, this may be upsetting in particular because, this may be working class guys at construction sites and whatnot who are reaching across class lines sometimes to call out the sexuality of women on the street. What about race and class here? When we talk about catcalling, are we really talking about people taking offense at people reaching across lines, Tatiana?
I don't think that that's the main issue. I think that that's one thing that can be perpetrated by certain conversations where we are talking about men of color and certain men of color who are being the profile picture of street harassment, but white collar men street harass women too. Men of all classes, all races harass women too. And I think that that's one thing that, Anna touched on, is that when the video is only showing certain men and this one woman being harassed, it can paint this picture that this is the only type of harassment that happens, and these are the only people that perpetrate harassment, and these are the only type of women who receive harassment. But that's not true at all. So rich men, poor men, I've been harassed by men in suits in Wall Street that have harassed me on the street too. Mm-hmm. So it's not just this class thing. And I think that that's something that should be talked about so that we complicate this conversation and not just talking about one type of man who's harassing one type of woman.
You're clearly on a kind of one-woman education campaign here for men. I mean, this video was eye-opening to a lot of people, men in particular, I think, because of just the constant flow, at least when you edit 10 hours down, of these comments. I'm looking at some of your posters, Tatiana, and they're great, but you've got women looking out with a kind of serious expression on their face. Here's one: women do not owe you their time or conversation. Women, stop telling women to smile. Women are not outside for your entertainment. My outfit is not an invitation. There are the simple messages. What's the problem that you're trying to alert men to, I guess, Tatiana?
Well, the purpose of the posters being so short and succinct is mm-hmm. to point to a particular type of harassment. So when I talk to these women, I'm asking them, what do you want to say to men? What is your reaction to one particular type of harassment that you have received? So my outfit is not an invitation. People saying that what a woman wears is her asking for this certain type of attention. And so that one poster is talking about that one particular instance of harassment. And so the point and the goal of interviewing all these different women is to hear these different voices, these different experiences, and to reflect those experiences in this work.
Tatiana, Anna, Emily, I want to hear from women calling us as well. Chloe in New Orleans, Louisiana. Chloe, you're on the air. Thank you for calling.
Hi, how are you?
Okay, what's your experience on this front, Chloe?
Well, I live in New Orleans. I live in a neighborhood called the Marigny, which is just downriver from the French Quarter. So it's pretty dense. Mm-hmm. The walkability is great. I can get to stores and a multitude of restaurants within just a couple of blocks.
Yeah.
However, I don't really appreciate the walkability because whenever I walk to the store, I'm a petite woman, very modestly dressed. Mm-hmm. You know, I don't go out scantily clad or anything like that. Mm-hmm. But I do experience these catcalls, and on the surface, they do seem benign. You know, I'll say, "How are you?" They'll say, "Good." "How are you back?" I'll say, "Fine." They'll go, "You look fine," which is not respectable. It's not respectful. And it's hard to argue those points with random strangers on the streets. It's even harder to get my husband to grasp just how serious the problem is until he saw the video. And he said, you know, he posted it to his Facebook page.
Yeah.
And you know, with the comment, "Is it really like this?" And it was just comment after comment under it that saying, yes, it is. It is that bad. So talking about the racial aspect of it and the class aspect, I think any woman who has walked down a public street, you know, in a city has experienced just the variety of people that will sort of attack you with their words, you know, objectify you in that sense.
Chloe, is it related? This is just going out to get a gallon of milk, it sounds like, for you.
Yeah,
is it related at all to how you present? I mean, if you're really, you know, putting on the dog, you're really dressed up, is it a bigger deal? If you're in sweatpants, is it a smaller deal? Or do you find it just across the board?
It really doesn't seem to make a difference. I've been very aware of it for a long time. And like I said, I could be with one of my boys in tow. I've got two young boys. Who we're teaching, you know, we don't have specified gender roles in the house. You know, we each take care of finances. We each have jobs.
Yeah.
And, you know, we're very mindful of, you know, teaching them that we are equal. And I just hope that so many more people bringing up their sons in this sort of new and alert and aware environment are taking the responsibility in that sense.
Chloe, I really appreciate your call.
It doesn't have to be that way.
New Orleans is so great to walk in. As a guy, to imagine it being uncomfortable in that way, like every 10 steps or whatever it could be, is what a bummer. I appreciate your call. Let me get one more right here. Savannah, Georgia. Ray, you're on.
Hi, Tom. Yes. So this is a really big issue for me. And what I find is I get catcalled maybe sometimes 10 times in 10 blocks. It's things as simple as, "Hey, baby," to "What's your name?" "How old are you?" People walking beside me. One of the big issues for me is it happens to me even when I'm in sweatpants. And so it leaves me feeling like more vulnerable to express myself when I feel good, to get dressed really nicely in the morning.
Mm-hmm.
Afraid of the attention I'm going to draw to myself rather than feeling like that's an empowered move. It kind of strips my personal power from me. And because I'm a single female, I do, and because I'm also someone very conscious of their carbon footprint, mm-hmm. I do love to walk, and I often walk alone. So I find I've had to change my routes. If someone starts to walk alongside me, I've had to, you know, kind of pretend like I can get to where I'm trying to go by taking a right or a left, and then
circle the block or whatever it requires.
An alley. And it's just so exhausting, and it really, really, really is disempowering and leaves you feeling incredibly vulnerable. So I definitely relate to this.
I mean, it sounds like more than annoying, more than irritating for you, Ray. I mean, to scary, exhausting, psychologically exhausting.
Oh, God, it is so psychologically exhausting. I'm a runner as well, and one reason that I love to run in nature is I don't have to deal with the catcalls that I get on the streets. So it is kind of an interesting thing. I'm from the West Coast originally, and although this is a problem there, it's not as large of a problem. There seems to be a little bit more awareness around gender equality or just differences in the way people approach one another. But being here down in the South, I will say my experience with catcalls has been exhausting.
Ray, you hang tough. I hear, we all hear, I'm sure, the emotion in your voice as you describe that. Hang tough, and I really appreciate your call. Emily May, I guess this is the reason that you are at your work. You can hear the deep discomfort in our first two callers conveying what they have to put up with. I imagine a lot of guys, maybe before this video for some, think, well, you know, once in a while, what's a big deal? But if you think about it nonstop, you can see how this could really cut into your just psychic ease in the world, Emily.
Yeah, exactly. You know, and these are stories, these two stories are stories like, you know, we've been hearing for years, and I've got my own host of them. And, you know, I just this morning, I got an emergency phone call at 7 a.m. from a friend whose coworker had been sexually assaulted on the train. And they called 911, and 911 said it wasn't, quote, in their jurisdiction. And then they called the sexual assault hotline here in New York City, the one the police runs, and they didn't pick up. And so, you know, we were able to, we work with the police, we train them, on how to respond to instances like this. So we were able to connect her, to directly to the NYPD and get her the help that she needed because she did want to file a report, and take care of it. But look, you shouldn't have to have my cell phone number, to have the response to this that you want to have. And, you know, the fact that this is happening, day in and day out, you know, it makes my heart sink, and it's something that we are trying so hard to address. Look, this PSA is far from perfect. We are not going to stand behind it and say that this is, you know, the first glimpse into street harassment that we wanted America to have. It's not. But it is out there, and it is starting a conversation. And what we want to do from here is to use this conversation as a platform to help people understand the complexity of this issue.
Anna Holmes, how do you look at what's going on when this happens? I mean, those first two calls make it so vivid right away. The video makes it vivid. Okay, it's got its flaws. What is this about? Is this about individual men just who can't keep a grip on their sexuality even in public? Is this a kind of assertion of a power structure that men sort of collectively impose without even trying? What's going on with this, Anna?
I think it's more the latter. I don't actually really think it's about sex. I think that a lot of men and in this country and many others have a feeling of entitlement not only to female attention but to their bodies, to be able to comment on them. You see this, or you saw this, with regards to the leak of photos of actresses like Jennifer Lawrence. I mean, the idea that the female
nude
body
photos,
is a commodity,
yeah,
that can be, mm-hmm, that can be remarked upon in public, can be shared with others. It's the kind of dehumanization of women. I mean, it goes back to, like, you know, the problem with patriarchy. You know, not to get too academic about it, but, you know, and I don't think that some people fully understand what it is like to move about the world as a woman, whether that's in their workplace or whether that's on the streets of a city. One of the callers mentioned the West Coast. It isn't as bad on the West Coast. I'm on the West Coast right now. I'm from the West Coast.
Yeah.
But I think a lot of that has to do with the fact that there's a car culture here. I mean,
car culture. Yeah, you're in automobiles.
Are not,
yep,
are not walking around in the ways that they are in other cities in the United States. And I have no doubt that if L.A., let's say, was as walkable as New York or Boston, that you would have the same amount of street harassment. But, you know, it's – I don't – one thing that's interesting to me is that I don't get street harassed that often, and I don't know why that is,
mm-hmm,
but the threat of it affects me every day. So even though it's not being, even though I'm not being spoken to by men very often, I'm not being harassed, I'm not being followed, it has happened, but it, mm-hmm, doesn't happen as much as it does to other women that I know. The mere threat of it does affect how I live my life. It affects what clothes I put on or what mood I'm interested in kind of projecting in terms of what I wear. It affects whether I decide to walk somewhere or take a taxi. I'm just trying to underscore the fact that even when it isn't constant,
mm-hmm,
and directed at someone like me and on a constant basis, it is something that I think about, and sexual violence every single second that I'm out in the world.
I'm Tom. Tom Ashbrook. This is On Point. We're talking this hour about street harassment of women, maybe others too, and the video out of New York that's got everybody talking. Emily May is with us from Hollaback. They got this put together and out into the world. Joins us from New York. Anna Holmes from Fusion joins us from San Diego. They're columnist from the New York Times Book Review, founder of Jezebel. Tatiana Falalizadeh is with us from New York, an artist and illustrator. Her posters are part of a public art project called Stop Telling Women to Smile. And what she means is, don't harass, don't harass. Just don't do it. The video shows an awful lot of it. 10 hours, 108, what, hey babies, and how about it, and hey, all the rest. 31-plus million people have now seen it. Lots of people have been thinking about this. Writer and activist Feminista Jones talked about it. Her campaign, hashtag You OK, Sis. She talks here about her own experience on the street. It can be rough.
I can think of a time recently where I was just walking down this street and a group of young men, teenagers, young boys, teenagers yelled out at me about how they wanted to perform oral sex on me. They said it rather nastily. I stopped, I turned around, they acted like they didn't, but I kept going and they said it again.
Again, some guys get it, don't do it, others don't. I mean, even on Fox, Fox News, The Five, the show chimed in on this last week after Hollaback's video went viral. The co-host there, Bob Beckel, agreed with the catcaller sort of here, saying the woman featured in the viral video is attractive.
She got 100 catcalls, let me add 101. Damn, babe, you're a piece of woman.
Wow. Okay, right. Here's a clip from a group of men and women from New York City during the International Anti-Street Harassment Week earlier this year. Video shows nonviolent ways that men might call out other men when this is going on. Things they might say.
Has that ever really worked for you?
Does that really work for you?
I don't care if you think she's hot. It's not okay.
Misogyny. Super sexy.
I don't know if that's going to work on that group of young guys that Feminista Jones ran into, but maybe. Deborah in Madison, Wisconsin. Deborah, thank you for calling. You're on the air.
Yes. Hello.
Hi.
I think a lot of people would think the old advice of if you wouldn't say it in front of your grandmother, don't say it at all. But I don't think that even helps in this instance. I think for men who are confused about what's appropriate, imagine that same woman is being accompanied by two very large, aggressive-looking men. And if they wouldn't say it to her in their presence, they should not be saying it at all.
And what would that point out? Because if those aggressive men would take offense, then what are you getting at, Deborah?
Then harm could come to them.
Mm-hmm.
It makes women feel vulnerable. And when you're sort of looking around thinking, how do I shake this guy? You know, what do I do with this loser? I can't get away from him. I still have four more blocks to go. What am I going to do? And I hear men saying, well, I'm just giving you a compliment, or I'm just wishing you a good day. It's like, fine, if you would be doing that with...
Would you do it if there were two fierce-looking guys next to me? And if not, think twice. Deborah in Madison, I appreciate your call. It takes us into some of the psychology of it. Austin, Texas, Tiffany is calling. Tiffany, you're on the air. Thank you very much for calling.
Hi, Tom. I wanted to kind of throw something out there that's entirely contrary to what I'm hearing. My experience is that I get very angry and very physically aggressive often. I've thrown a number of punches, and I find myself wanting to defend my honor and to start a fight. I get very angry. I lose my temper.
What does it take to make you that angry, Tiffany? Is hey baby enough, or does it have to get into the...
Oh, no. Typically, it'll be someone, you know, who may have followed me a couple of blocks, you know, and often I feel like the best thing for me to do is to start a fight with this guy because I'm in public, and that'll quit that, you know?
Yes.
And oftentimes, I'll yell these details. I'll be like, oh, so you think you're going to follow me for a few blocks? You think you're going to tell me about throwing me in your car?
Ugh.
You know, and then I might throw a punch.
Yeah. Does it shame them? Does it shut them up, or does it bring more, Tiffany?
It does shut them up, absolutely. A punch in the jaw, for sure. Then someone else is going to finish that fight for me.
Tiffany's not going to take it anymore. Tiffany, I appreciate your call from Austin. Emily May at Hollaback, I mean, the very name of your group, Hollaback, suggests you're encouraging a kind of confrontation or pushback on this. What exactly do you suggest?
So Holovac is really just we're encouraging some kind of response. It could be a response in the moment, or it could be a response later, where you tell a friend or family member about this or share your story at iholovac.org. That being said, look, it is not the people who are experiencing this is responsibility to have the perfect response to street harassment. It is street harassers' responsibility to not harass. So, you know, for Tiffany, this is her response. This is what makes sense to her. For other people, you know, it could just be saying nothing and hanging your head and walking on. But for everyone, what we know is that having some kind of response, either in the moment or long term after it's happened, can actually help reduce anxiety, depression, and the post-traumatic stress disorder that so often is associated with street harassment.
What's an effective response? I mean, Tiffany's ready to throw a punch. Many people would not be. What are the options?
So if you want to respond in the moment, what we recommend is, you know, you just look the person directly in the eye, tell them it's not okay, it's not acceptable what they're doing, and then, you know, keep it moving. What we know is oftentimes from our own experiences that when we do have a response, it can escalate. It can go from being, hey, beautiful, to, you know, well, you're ugly anyway, or now I'm going to follow you down the street for 5 minutes, mm-hmm. or, you know, now I'm going to try and touch you in some way. And so what we want to see people do is certainly prioritize their own safety and also, you know, have the response that makes the most sense to them. It doesn't have to be perfect. You're not expected to have that perfect response. We do expect the people perpetrating this to stop doing it, though.
Tatiana, look them in the eye and say, that's not okay. Does that sound wise to you? Smart, savvy, dangerous?
Well, I think the ending point that Emily made is very important to think about. It's when you feel safe or what makes you feel comfortable. Not all of the time you will feel comfortable or safe doing that, stopping and looking someone in the eye and telling them very sternly that what they did is not okay. I do agree that having some response is important, if not for the man, for yourself, to make you feel more confident, more assertive, and lessen that anxiety that you feel afterwards. But yeah, it depends on the moment. That's not always the case. You don't always feel safe in that moment, depending on where you are, what time it is, and who is harassing you. That makes a huge difference in how you respond. So that's not always going to be very easy. But I do think that it is important to feel like you have the ability to respond to someone and speak up. That's what's important.
The eye-opening thing to men may be in this video, just how much and how often, how much this might have to be on women's minds. What a burden. Barbara in Guilford, Vermont. Barbara, you're on the air.
Hi, Tom. Thanks for taking my call.
Yeah.
Last summer, I was at a gas station and I was pumping gas. I went to go pay the clerk. And it was a really hot day, and he turns around and looked at me and said, I'll bet you by the end of the day you're going to have your top off. And I looked at him, and I'm like, what are you saying? Walked away all upset, and I turned around and looked at my car. I'm like, oh, my God, he meant my convertible. But you see, that's the mindset that us women get into, is think of that's the way their one-track mind is.
So that even when he's talking about your car, you've got it so much on your mind that you're thinking it's harassment.
Exactly. And I really felt like a heel after I drove away, but that's the way I took it.
But if it feels that present, if you're so quick to go that way, there's probably a reason for that. I appreciate your call, Barbara. Kristen in Atlanta, Georgia. Kristen, you're on.
Hi. Yeah, I just had a comment about the definition of harassment that we're having so much trouble with.
Mm-hmm.
I think that when we say that it should be up to a woman to decide what she thinks is and isn't, we leave that door open for men to say the things that they want to say, and then they can just say, well, she's going to be offended or she's not. But I think that the root of the issue is the intent that people have when they say these things. You can pass a man on the street that says good morning and means to say just good morning. But when there's another intention behind that, we can feel it, and we know that it's not just good morning, hope you have a nice day, like we were saying earlier. It's good morning, and I like the way you look today. You know, so I think that the biggest point is that we need to get more into education for men on, before you say something, it's just like one of the last callers said, what are your real feelings about this? And what is your intent behind what you're planning on saying to this woman before you just decide, well, it's my right to say it, she's going to be offended or she's not.
Kristen, let me ask you though, because I mean, I know what you mean, and if it's really kind of lascivious and sexual in an extreme way, that's pretty plain. But you know, men and women, there is attraction. Even a good morning can have some little bit of appreciation for the way a woman looks, or if it's a woman, the way a man looks. You know, how much fringe of sexuality is okay before it's not okay? Is a little bit okay? Like, you're attractive, that's pleasant, or even that you don't want, Kristen?
I don't know. I mean, and maybe that's the line that's like up to a woman themselves, that they can decide where that line lies. But I also think that, you know, me personally, even if I do find someone attractive, and a lot of women that I know that would find a man attractive still aren't going to go out of their way to say, hello, good morning, and kind of make a point to tell them, I think that you're attractive, just so you know.
Right.
So there's more of a leniency at this point for men to just flat out let you know that they find you attractive, whereas a lot of men still, and most women that I know of, don't really feel like that's necessary. So mm-hmm. it's something about, you know, the feeling that people that do catcall have that makes them think, well, it's fine because I find them attractive, I'm allowed to say that, but we didn't really want you to tell us. Like, and that's where a lot of people get uncomfortable. It's like, well, I'm not looking for someone to tell me that I'm attractive right now. I didn't ask for these comments, and it's unwarranted. It's unwanted attention that is just given because they feel like they have the right. And that's where I think that it gets uncomfortable.
Kristen, you put it very well. I appreciate your call. Anna Holmes, what about this? Part of the response to the online video here has been men saying, well, what? We're supposed to be, you know, wear a muzzle all the time. We can't talk to women. This is political correctness gone crazy, run amok. I mean, we are human. There is sexuality. It's a fact, Anna. But yet you don't want women to have to always walk around in this haze of fear or apprehension. How do we be fully human and yet not imposing, you know, unwanted power or sexuality on people at the same time?
Well, I think to be fully human, you have to recognize that the people that you come in contact with on a daily basis are also fully human and not objects to be spoken to or to be objectified or to be harassed. I mean, I don't have a lot, if any, of sympathy for this idea that, you know, men are going to be muzzled somehow, that they're not able to talk to women at all. I think that they know, and we as women know, when there is a discussion happening between two people, two strangers, that has you know, overtones of power or sex or aggression, and when it's something that's just very innocuous and very friendly. It's very hard to articulate it, but I know it when I see it. I'm pretty sure they know what they're doing when they do it. So I don't have really any sympathy at all for this idea that somehow men are going to be muzzled. And, you know, quite frankly, I think men should speak out more about the street harassment of women, and they should call other men on their stuff. I don't see that happening very often. I've walked down the street with a guy and been street harassed, and the guy I was with didn't say anything. So, you know, I'm not sure I'm answering your question, but I don't have a lot of sympathy for this idea that men are going to be muzzled. I don't see any evidence of it happening. I don't think it's going to happen. It's about recognizing other people's autonomy and the fact that they're human beings, and that, you know, you should treat women as people, not as objects.
Tatiana, what if men just aren't as subtle as women? They don't know how to communicate sexuality, except sometimes in a boorish way.
I think that is... I think that's oversimplifying men, and I think that's kind of, you know, that is
letting them
offensive
off the hook
to women
right.
and to men. I don't think that men are these just super sexual beings that can't control themselves. And I think that men should take offense to that. I think that men should say, hey, we know how to speak to women. We know how to speak to women as if they are human beings, and they should act that way. You know, I think that feminism is great for men and women because it says, you know, we're all human beings. Mm-hmm. Men, you too. You're not just these crazed sexual animals. You can act like a human being too. And I think that men need to get on board with that. It's not just, you know, women being afraid of men or being afraid to interact with just people out on the street. We're not just these antisocial people who don't want to communicate with anyone. We are dealing with this stuff all the time, every day. And we have a very clear definition of what is, you know, sexual intent and what is just a regular hello from a stranger. And men, like Anna said, they know this too. So if you don't want to be treated as if you are just this, you know, crazed sexual animal, then don't treat us that way.
Katie McDonough writes in Salon, she says, calling men out for being rude, aggressive, and dangerous on the street does not make all public interactions with strangers street or harassment. To pretend that we can't tell the two apart is insulting to pretty much everyone. One more call, Monica in Nashville. Monica, you're on the air.
Hi.
What do you think, Monica?
So I just wanted to say that the big thing for me about street harassment is that it's really not about anything sexual or sexual interaction. It's about public space not actually belonging to everyone in the public. Public space is a man's space in that sense. They feel that they have the right to say something or, you know, oh, I was just trying to pay you a compliment. But in reality, it, you know, that's how we end up with situations where people say, oh, you know, if you want to be safe, don't go out after dark. If you want to be safe, don't go down these streets. Public space is for everyone, and that takes power away from women. You know, just yesterday I was walking down the road, and I had a man who said, hey, baby, hey, baby, hey, baby. And the third time when I didn't acknowledge it, he started to yell slurs at me and called me names. And so, you know, you can't even...
Yeah.
That was the reaction that I got when I didn't address somebody. Can you imagine what the reaction would have been if I had said, hey, that's not appropriate? If that was the escalation from a no reaction,
right.
I imagine that, you know, violence could have been very possible.
Monica, I appreciate the way you put that. Let it be everybody's space. It belongs to no gender. Emily May, I guess those are the stakes here in your view. Let it be everybody's open public space.
That's right. We all deserve to walk down the street and feel safe and confident.
Emily May is executive director of Hollaback. The video is out there with 31 tick, tick, tick million still growing numbers of views. A minute and 57 seconds and a lot of conversation sparked by it. Emily, in New York, thank you very much for joining us today.
Thank you.
Tatiana Falalizadeh is in New York as well, artist and illustrator, creator of the public art project Stop Telling Women to Smile. Tatiana, thanks for your thoughts and time today.
Thanks for having me.
And Anna Holmes, founder of Jezebel, editor of Digital Voice at Fusion. It's always great to have you, Anna. Thank you very much for coming in.
Thanks for inviting me back. I appreciate it.
Listeners, women, good luck on the street. Men, think twice. It can be great for everybody. Thanks for joining us. I'm Tom Ashbrook. This is On Point.